home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, and Cougars is right here on The Zone. This is JJ and Alex, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Welcome back.
This beat just reminds me of old school when they're picking guys up.
Oh, yeah.
Every single time.
It's goal time.
It's exactly. You know, there are certain songs that, like, there are.
Driving around in the van.
It's exactly what you picture is that song. And it might be a great song. Won't matter. If it was from a movie that you hated or loved,
it reminds
it has
you of
a
that.
Different, it has a different feel to it. So there
Master
you go.
Master of Puppets, Metallica.
Is Slash still with us?
Jeez.
Is it a good time for a quiz? Hey, Alex, what band is Slash actually in? You've named every band he's not in.
Listen,
which band was he in?
Come on. I've owned guns, and I've also bought roses
there
for people.
There you go.
All right? I'm just telling you that there are a lot of people who are like, because they will. All these bands kick around, and every one of these guys get around, and they're 77 years old. And then they're all.
Now,
I know. How old is Kiss? Do we know their actual age?
I think they've all passed. I think that none of them are longer with us.
Rest in peace, Gene Simmons. Wait a minute.
Oh man. I don't think. Yeah, they're grandkids.
James Hetfield, Kirk Hammett. Of course, that's who you just heard.
Right.
With Metallica, they're in their 60s.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And Steve Tyler's like 80. It's definitely 80. Has to be.
Well, his lips aren't.
Most of his face
those are,
is not.
Those are pretty young.
His hair is from like yesterday.
That face is pretty young, but right. Not so much.
Joining us on the program right now as we get you ready for the more NFL draft preview, our NFL draft preview show brought to you by Manuel Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Our show is always brought to you by G2G Bars, all natural ingredients and no preservatives make the G2G Bar perfect for anybody who needs a quick, tasty, nutritious boost. We've had Luke Easterling on the program quite often when we talk about NFL stuff and NFL draft especially. And let's kick things off with the cut as we always do right here at the top of the show.
It's time for the biggest story of the day. This is What Made the Cut with JJ and Alex on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The Cut, as always, brought to you right now by your Doug Smith dealerships. That's right. Incredible selections of Kias, Subarus, Chevy, Jeep, Dodge, Ram. Doug Smith dealerships in American Fork and Spanish Fork. Great service starts with great know-how. Nobody knows like Doug. Hey, Doug. There you go. I gave you the voice. I know
that
you
was good.
Missing for 3 weeks.
I tried to fill your shoes for 3 weeks.
Did you try to? You're like, hello, Douglas.
I was so bad.
It was a percentage, JJ. It was about 25%.
It was not good. Consistent, that's for sure.
All right. Luke Easterling, Athlon Sports, joining us here as we get you ready for this NFL draft. Luke, how's it going, man? This is a busy time of year for you.
Oh, is it? Is it? Is there a lot going on this week? I'm not sure. No, man. It's my Christmas. It's a lot of work, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I love it.
Yeah. So let's dig into this a little bit. And I think the big question everyone's going to be talking about is which quarterbacks are and when are they going to go?
Oh yeah.
Well, I don't know what you're hearing at this point, but what order do you think that is, or what order do you think it should be?
Yeah, I mean, those are two very different things. So I think. I'm obviously very confident about Caleb Williams at Chicago at one. That's the easy one. Everybody will get one pick right in their mock drafts at least this year. At number two, it still feels like Jaden Daniels. I don't know that it's nearly as much of a sure thing as Caleb Williams, but it still feels like that's the favorite to go to, and that's who I would pick too. I would take him if I were Washington there. It's kind of splitting hairs between him and Drake May, I think, but I would lean towards Jaden Daniels. I think Drake May probably goes three. I know there's a little bit of buzz here and there about New England maybe being willing to move down, but I think it would take a haul to get them out of that pick. And I think they take whoever Washington doesn't, whether it's Daniels or May, whoever the other one is, I think they take him there. And then the conversation starts at four, right? That's where if you love J.J. McCarthy enough, that's where you're going to have to start calling to get up to get him. Is Arizona at four? Chargers at five, because I think the Giants could be in on that if he's there. I think the Giants might be trying to move up to get their own quarterback and view Daniel Jones maybe as a little bit of a sunk cost at this point. And so, there's so many teams. There's Minnesota, there's Denver, there's Vegas. that could be in on whoever that fourth quarterback is. For me, I mean, all three of those top guys that I mentioned, Williams, Daniels, and May, are top 10 prospects overall on my board. The next guy on my board as a quarterback is Michael Penix Jr., and he's at 28. J.J. McCarthy at 30. And then Bo Nix and Spencer Rattler are actually kind of right next to each other down in the 60s. So that's kind of how I view the class in a vacuum. Obviously, I know that's not how it's going to play out on the draft on Thursday night, but I would not be surprised if we see six quarterbacks in the first round. I think those top four guys, McCarthy being the fourth, will come off the board in the top 10 somewhere. And then the interesting thing will be who dips in how early. I'm looking at Denver and I'm looking at Vegas. Do they trade back or back into the first round to get Nix and or Penix? And I think those will be the fifth and sixth guys.
Mm. See, and that's what I thought. I was going to ask you who the most likely team was to say, you know what, we're going to move it up. We're going to start trading that. We're going to start making some moves and making it happen. So what is the we've had this discussion a lot on our show because JJ's got a Heisman vote and he put Michael Penix Jr. Above Bo Nix on his Heisman vote, and I didn't disagree with him because I grew up a Washington Huskies fan, so I was like I'll absolutely deal with that. But let's talk about the difference between like Caleb Williams to a Jaden Daniels, a Drake May, and then to Bo Nix and Michael Penix Jr.
So I think it's just in terms of potential and upside. I think that you have rare physical traits and abilities with each of those top three guys that they really haven't even maxed out at this point at even the college level. I think you look at the supporting casts that they all had to work with, particularly the defenses they all had to play with. I think Caleb Williams was like undefeated or only lost one game when USC gave up fewer than 35 points. And so when you match that with their overall record, you're thinking, wow, that would have been a different story if he had had some defense there. But, I think when you look outside those top three, there are reasons why the other guys aren't in that range necessarily. Obviously, with Penix, it's easy, right? He's got, the injury history from Indiana, which I think will work against him. And the fact that he's, going to be a 24-year-old rookie, as will Bo Nix. So the rub there is you're getting an older guy. You're getting a guy that may not have as much upside, but you're getting a guy that has played a ton of football. Both of those guys, Nix and Penix, have started so many games at the highest level of college football and in multiple conferences. They've done it in the Big Ten and the Pac-12 with Penix. They've done it in the SEC and the Pac-12 if you're Bo Nix. And so I think that will appeal to certain teams as well. I think it's just a matter of they don't quite have the same potential for certain reasons. Again, part of it is the age thing, and part of it is just the physical tools. But Nix and Penix have different things that they bring to the table in terms of experience that I think will still get them drafted in the first round because they still have enough of the physical ability. I think they're both great athletes. I think they're both can do different things as a passer. I think of Penix more of a vertical passer, and I think of Bo Nix more as a horizontal passer in terms of efficiency and accuracy across the field. And so depending on what you want your quarterback to do in your offense, those guys will appeal to you for different reasons. But that's why the gap is there to me.
Hey, Luke, this is Sly here. I got a question about the age thing, kind of a two-part question. Why is the age such a difference? You want a veteran quarterback, essentially, right? Some of these younger guys, you want to invest in these younger guys. But these quarterbacks are lasting until they're 45 now. Tom Brady's setting the stage, Aaron Rodgers following right behind him. If you got a good quarterback, he's going to be there for 15, 20 years. So, taking him right now, do you want success now? What is the reason for the age being a knock?
Well, and I think, to your point, I think it's going to be less of a knock this year, which is why I think those guys will still go in the first round. Because in any other year, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, if you told me you had a couple of 24-year-old quarterbacks and one of them had four season-ending injuries, we're not having a conversation about that guy going in the first round at all. I don't give a damn what he did in college. Like, we're just not doing that. And so I think the difference is now exactly what you said. Maybe the only position where you can get away with this nowadays, but guys are taking care of their bodies, they're understanding how to play the game in a way that protects them. The game itself and the way the rules are protecting
changing.
Them in a lot of ways. And I think you're seeing more and more guys playing into their mid and late 30s. And I do think it changes the conversation of quarterback. I don't think it's that way for every other position. But that's why I think those guys will still go in the first round, because you're right. I think about a guy like Sean Payton. Does Sean Payton really want to break in a 21-year-old you know, very inexperienced, you know, quarterback prospect, or does he want the guy who has literally played more college football games than any other human being in the history of the sport, like Bo Nix, who is accurate, efficient, you know, can distribute the ball in a very effective way and has seen everything when you have started 60 plus games at the highest level of college football. And so I think the fit will be important there, but I completely agree with you that it's less of an issue than it ever has been.
This quarterback class has the potential to be a great class, but so does this receiver class. In fact, this receiver class could be even better than the quarterbacks. Just how good is it? And just as I asked you before, how do you see that playing out with the order of guys, and who are those first-round guys?
I really try not to be the hype guy and, like, go full, like, over hyperbole all the time. But, man, I've been doing this for a long, long time, and it's the best one I've ever seen. It really is. And it's for two reasons. One, you have three absolutely elite guys at the top. They are literally my final big board, which is on athlonsports.com right now. They are the top three players in the draft overall, the top three wide receivers. So you've got Marvin Harrison Jr. at one. I have Rome Odunze at two and Malik Nabers at three, ahead of every other person in this draft at every other position. That's what I think of them, just those three. So in any other draft class, if the other two guys weren't there, they would probably be the best player in the draft and easily the number one wide receiver, easy top five overall pick. And they're all three at the top of this class. And then you go to the next tier, and there are literally like 8 to 12 guys that could go in any order, and I'd be fine with it. Both the guys from Texas, A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy, Keon Coleman from Florida State, you got Ladd McConkey from Georgia, Troy Franklin from Oregon, so many guys in that next tier, Xavier Leggett from South Carolina, Jalen Polk, the other Washington receiver, and then the other Washington receiver, Jalen McMillan, is in there as well. There's again, 8, 10, 12, 15, you can keep stretching it on, Ricky Pearsall from Florida. That second tier is so loaded that literally every time I do a mock draft, I get to like the third or fourth round, and I'm like, how in the world
is this guy this low?
These three wide receivers here, I can't put them all in the second round. They can't all fit.
Right.
There's only 32 picks around. So I'm with you, man. This receiver class is ridiculous, and I think all three of those top guys go top 10, and whoever the third one is going to be just a ridiculous steal. If they don't all go top five, it's going to be a bargain, and we know they're not because the quarterbacks are going to go up that high. So I think whoever that third guy is, whether it's Odunze or Nabers, if he's there at 7 or 8, I would not be surprised to see some movement, see some teams, maybe Jacksonville at 17, somebody trying to get up into the top 10 to get a guy who normally would go maybe 2 or 3 overall because he's still on the board, just because there's not enough picks for as many receivers as we have.
Luke Easterling, Athlon Sports. He's your draft expert for Athlon. And here's one of the questions I have, because from a local standpoint, at least the local collegiate guys, we have a handful of guys who, you know, prepped here, and there's going to be some guys that go a little bit earlier. But on your list of the guys who played at the local universities, you got Kingsley Sumataia going in the second round. And after that, Cole Bishop, I think, is the 81st pick for you, and then Jonah Ellis at the 103rd pick. Now, you do your mock drafts. I think this is a good way to do it. You do 4 rounds because it's like, you know, at some point, there's something interesting between 4 and 7 that happens too. But how do you have anybody else that may sneak in from a local standpoint that could sneak in from the state of Utah that prepped or that they went to college here?
Yeah, I don't know where he goes, but outside of those guys, the guy that really intrigued me is Sione Vaki. I think that he's a guy that not just the versatility in terms of what he was asked to do, you know, injuries popped up and he played on both sides of the ball. But if you look at the way the return rules are changing this year, the kickoff rules are changing in a way that I really think teams are going to prioritize having a player who has the instincts and awareness to maximize the ability to make big plays on the new kickoffs. And I think he brings that to the table. And so in terms of his versatility, it, obviously talk to any NFL GM or head coach and they'll tell you what a stress it is to try to find the right 53 and then the right 46 on game day, because you have to guard against injuries. You have to do all these different things. So if you have a guy on your roster that can do all the different things that he can do, play running back if you need him to, play safety if you need him to, and return kicks and punts, I think that makes you invaluable, because you can take up three guys worth of roles on one roster spot and free you up to have an extra offensive lineman, an extra linebacker for special teams, an extra DB or an emergency quarterback or what have you. And I think that a guy like that will have a lot of value. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes off the board earlier, probably still on day 3 somewhere, but a little bit earlier than a lot of people think.
Kingsley Suamataia, offensive tackle out of BYU. cousin of Penei Sewell, and I think there's some comparisons there because of that. Where are you hearing on him? What is his range?
Well, I mean, I'll defer to Tom Pelissero from NFL Network, who I just saw today kind of mentioned him as a potential late sneak into the first round type of guy. And honestly, man, like one of my mentors in this business, Neil Coulong, who was a boss of mine for a long time, he always used to say, there are only so many human beings walking the planet that are that large and can move like that. And that definitely applies to Kingsley Suamataia, because that's what he brings to the table, the size, the athleticism, the power. I think he can play either tackle spot. And so when you start to check all of those boxes and you look on the back end of the first round, I'm looking at Kansas City at 32. I'm looking at San Francisco at 31. KC needs a left tackle. San Francisco needs a right tackle. Both of those teams can drop him right into the starting lineup, a very experienced guy. Again, you know, in the family, it runs in the family. Obviously, the talent does. But the size, the athleticism, the physicality, the experience, the mental side of the game, I think he checks all those boxes. And again, there's only so many people in the world that can do that at that size, and he's one of them.
One more guy I want to throw your way, Jackson Powers Johnson, Corner Canyon High School here in Draper, Utah. Turd Ferguson, as he likes to be referred to now.
Best story of the entire draft.
Isn't it great?
Absolutely. Stocked up as soon as I heard him say that. I was like, oh, well, first round grade.
See, it takes you know what? Because things are, it can get a little mundane, I feel like, in your gig, Luke. You can be like, oh, lots of numbers to break down. If you make a Turd Ferguson joke, you're going to move up the board. It takes a little bit to do it.
No question.
He doesn't need the help, though. I think he might be a first round pick. What do you think about him and what makes him that high of a prospect?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll tell you this. I'm down here in the Tampa area. I'm a lifelong Bucs fan. Not very quiet about that, but I try to be as unbiased as I can when it comes to the draft analysis. And I'll tell you what, I want him in Pewter very, very badly because the Bucs are sitting at 26. And with what they lost when Ryan Jensen had that devastating knee injury 2 years ago that would eventually cost him the rest of his career, they miss that presence at that position. I know the old days of all centers are not important and you can get them later, and that's all out the window because you see what an impact these guys are making. And it's about two things. It's about setting a tone for the entire offensive line that, and I'm going to try not to use any foul language, but like that personality that you have to have in that unit, that you're going to play physical, you're going to punish the other team in the trenches, you're going to play through the echo of the whistle, as they like to say. Ryan Jensen always used to say that. But you're going to have a bad time going up against my center and my offensive line. And that center has to set that tone. That's what Ryan Jensen did. And I think that's what Jackson Powers Johnson does as well. He's a great athlete. He's a really big, physical guy as well. And he's so smart. So much of being able to play center at a high level in the NFL happens between the ears, because you have got to get your quarterback in the right protections. You've got to get everybody understanding their assignments with all the stunts and twists and extra rushers that are coming, and understanding who you're picking up if so-and-so goes, and they bring all those extra rushers, but then they back out, and you've got to be on the same page with your quarterback with all of that stuff. And so he brings all the mental and the physical side of things all together. Again, he did get a first-round grade for me, and I would love to see him snapping the ball to Baker Mayfield down here in Tampa. I don't think he gets out of the first round, and he shouldn't.
Dang, yeah, get those pancakes. JP loves all of those pancakes.
I'll cook them myself if he ends up in Tampa. Right? I will make him some pancakes.
Banana, I heard he likes the banana nut pancakes.
That's fine. Yeah. I do banana foster pancakes. I'll make it for him. That's fine.
Money. My last question goes to kind of the trend of the last couple of years. It seems like every single year we're setting records with the number of trades within the draft. Do you see that kind of being something similar this year? And why has that been like the trend these last couple of years? Is a lot of guys trading up and trading down in the draft?
I think honestly it's a sign that teams have a great working relationship with one another. I think it's a great example of, I understand, you know, who I'm working with in these other clubs. We have certain parameters and we understand what we need. We understand what they're looking for. And I think it speaks to teams learning how to make that work in a really efficient way. And I think also we've just had some really talented draft classes. I think those trades are always going to be driven by premium positions. So if you look at this year's draft class, you're going to be seeing wide receivers, quarterbacks, and offensive linemen all over the place in the first round. And so if you want to get your guy and get ahead of a run at those positions, you're going to have to move up to do it. And if you look at certain teams picking in the top half of the first round, I'm looking at like the Chicago Bears. They pick at 1 and 9, but then they have two more picks the whole rest of the draft. So you have to find guys, you have to find teams like that, and you have to find teams like Arizona and Washington who have like six or seven picks in the top 100 or so, and match those up together. I think teams are doing a really good job of understanding what other teams need, who they can work with, and making it happen in a really efficient way, and I think that's led to that.
Luke Easterling does a phenomenal job as we call you all the time to ask about all these players on the big draft board. His mock draft is up at athlonsports.com. You can find it there. Luke, thanks for your help, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Enjoy the week.
There you go. Luke Easterling. Look, you know what? They do know their stuff, Sly, sometimes, these draft experts. Come on. There's not a guy – here's the thing is there's not a guy you can mention, and you. We've talked to these guys a lot, right?
Uh-huh.
There's not a dude you can throw out from the most obscure universities. When this is their, like – when this is their job – it's insane the stuff that they'll throw out.
We could have done another segment, and he could have broke down Winston Reed of Weber State.
1,000%.
Because they know they this is all they do.
This is his Christmas, as
he
put it.
I still need to make you that shirt, football nerd.
That's right.
Yeah.
We gotta get
well,
all
you
over
gotta
that.
Trademark it.
Hey,
first.
You know what? Man. You know what?
I'm in the football nerd club.
Hey, Nathan.
I'm not ashamed.
Let's get our boss. We'll get some KSL Sports football nerd T-shirts made. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do.